Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace day is out? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood?
Blood of the Lamb. Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Hide the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless, are they white?
When one pays attention to what is taking place all over the world, we know that Jesus is about to come back to take his bride unto himself. The turmoil in all the nations is announced over the news every day. We can see interesting things taking place. We can see some interesting things taking place that one could only read out of the Word of God 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Now they are starting to happen right in front of our eyes. What the Word of God prophesied is now taking place. And I personally believe we are
drawing very close to the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that in the latter days, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And the Bible also teaches that in the last days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And this is happening. Whole denominations are turning away from God, rejecting that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And as we will get closer to the end, we will see demonic activity increasing amongst the people because people do not take God serious. The pleasures of this world have taken over many of God's people. Prosperity has become a god, and we need to understand that this was prophesied, and we need to see that these things are going to turn us away from the God that we serve. Many churches are preaching against the power of the Holy Spirit. They do not want nothing to do with anything that represents the gifts and the powers of God. While in the meantime, demonic activity is increasing amongst the church people. So what is a person to do? The most important thing that you need to understand is your salvation, who you are in Christ. What is the mystery of salvation? Is salvation some good that we're doing in the flesh? No, the Bible teaches us that salvation can only come through the cross of Calvary. And today I will teach on the subject of salvation. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the truth of your gospel. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace that we still have to preach the gospel over the air. And Lord God, you will bless the listeners. Open their hearts to the truth. I thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. When one talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to people of North America, many, if not all, believe that as an historical fact. But the point is, Satan believes that also, and it doesn't do him any good. So when you do ask a religious person if he believes that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, yes, he believes it, and he would testify of it. And most will say that there is no way that they can deny that, that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. But the problem is they do not understand that they have to accept that as their salvation. Many will believe that as an historic fact, but they do not accept that as their salvation. So they go through life thinking that if they believe that, then they belong to God. No, this is not how it works. The Bible teaches us, to them that believe on his name, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. So if you know about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, what have you done with that information? Have you taken that pardon and applied it to your heart for your salvation? Or are you just nonchalantly going through life, believing in the fact of the finished work of the cross, but not taking advantage of it and receiving it for yourself? The Bible teaches us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, "For we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." This is what brings us into the kingdom, by having faith in this finished work that God has given to us for our salvation. So regardless how religious you are and well-meaning you are in your life, You need to accept Jesus as your Savior, and that you take on by faith, not by any religious act. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 5, it tells us, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Many religious people try to bring on their righteousness by some religious act or deed. The Bible teaches us, without faith it is impossible to please God. And here it tells us, we through the Spirit hope for the righteousness which is by faith. It is very clearly written. The only righteousness that we will ever receive is by placing our faith in the finished work of the cross, and then we receive the righteousness of God. The Bible teaches us that He has become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That will never change, regardless how religious you are. Something very interesting has been announced over the news in the last couple of weeks. If anybody out there remembers Cambodia, the Khmer Rouge, they were a very cruel people, a government that killed many millions of their people from 1975 to 1979. And this is where we get the term the killing fields from, because the head skulls were piled up by the thousands. But something happened over the last few weeks that was announced over the news. The most notorious, cruel person amongst them, he was a warden in a prison, turned over, came out of hiding, and turned himself over to the police because he had turned to the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation. And the pastor that led him to the Lord said he came out of hiding and asked for help because he said he had so many sins. And when that pastor showed him the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, God opened his eyes to the truth and he received forgiveness. And then he went to the authorities where they put him in court. They took him and they placed a sentence of him. He's going to be 19 years in prison. To many, that's a slap on the wrist. But this is the grace of God. Personally, I believe he should pay for the crimes that he has done. But in the end, he will be saved and will go to heaven because he received the pardon and the forgiveness of sin. So here is what we're going to have in the day of judgment. Many well-meaning people who lived a so-called godly life, who even did good to many, will stand condemned in the day of judgment because they rejected the saving grace of Jesus Christ. But a man like this, who was a killer, who killed millions of people, who caused so much suffering, will stand there and will be totally free from the burden of sin and will walk into the kingdom of heaven, pardoned from the awful deeds that he had done because he placed his total trust in the finished work of the cross. This is what's going to amaze many people. No wonder the Bible says, "Great is the mystery of godliness." We need to understand that if a person is dead in trespasses and sin, and he needs to repent from that sin and turn to Jesus for salvation, regardless how good or how bad you are. We're all in the same category. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, there is an interesting scripture. It tells us that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. When I study that, I can understand why an unbeliever whose mind and heart hasn't been opened to the truth will not understand these things. They cannot understand it because their minds have not been opened. This is why they look at the church with confusion. They see all the wrong going on. They see the hypocrisy, and that turns them away from seeking the Lord. Many are turned off by the hypocrisy they see in the churches because the world thinks that a person who has joined a church or is attending church is a Christian. And many Christians who do not take their salvation serious, who do not walk a holy walk before God, add to the confusion. The world looks at the church and is confused. They cannot figure out what true Christianity is. When you watch the news, Christianity is portrayed by social and religious organizations. They figure socialism is Christianity. No, it is not. Being a social person doesn't make you a Christian. It is only the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ that will make you a citizen of heaven. So I'm asking you today, the listener, you may be steeped in religion all your life. You have grown up in a religious system where you think that doing good, keeping yourself from evil, will somehow give you merit to enter into the kingdom of God. This is not the case. The Bible teaches us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And then it goes on to give an example. Like the children of Israel in the wilderness, when poisonous vipers came in amongst them, they bit those people and then they died. Many of them died as the snakes, as the vipers' poison was coursing through the bodies of those people. They were crying out to Moses for help. And God said to Moses, erect a bronze snake on a cross, on a pole, and anybody who looks on that bronze snake will be instantly healed. And once they did that, they were instantly healed. But for those who didn't, for those who didn't look on that bronze snake, simply had to die. And this is exactly how it works today. The Lord God was put on a cross, and the Bible teaches us all humanity has the venom of Satan in him, the poison of Satan, and it will one day kill us spiritually. Anyone who turns to the Lord Jesus, who has been nailed on the cross, will receive a healing in his spirit, and thus he will be set free from the poison that wants to destroy him. So I'm asking you today, have you looked on to Jesus for your salvation? You may be ever so religiously trying to keep your laws, rules, and regulations, but it will be to no avail in the end. You will stand condemned if you don't turn to Jesus. Whereas a murderer who has killed thousands and hundreds of thousands, who has turned to the Lord before he died for that salvation, will be free from his condemnation, from the condemnation, and will be allowed to enter into heaven. And you will have to watch that. You who tried so hard to be good will see that person enter into heaven because he had trusted in the finished work of the cross. Don't let that happen to you. Turn to Jesus for your salvation. Time is short. We are fast running out of time. But God is not willing that any should perish. So turn to him. Receive him as your Savior today, and you will become a blessing. The Lord will open your heart to these truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Before you say no to Jesus tonight, before you turn him away, before you decide to take that great chance, is this your last chance to pray?
While you are blessed with this precious moment, Jesus is ready to say, sinner, before you make your decision, is this your last chance to pray?
Before you say no to Jesus tonight, before you turn him away, before you decide to take that great chance, is this your last chance?
Satan may say that you're young and healthy, there's plenty of time to pray. But death is sure and life is uncertain, is this your last chance to pray?
Before you say no to Jesus tonight, before you turn him, before you decide to take that great chance, is this your last chance to pray?
Can you be sure that you'll see tomorrow? Would you be wise to wait? Death's chilling arms this night may embrace you, is this your last chance?
Before you say no to Jesus tonight, before you turn him away, before you decide to take that great chance, is this your last chance to pray?
When one studies the world and Christianity, you can very clearly see that the world views the lifestyles of Christians and determine by that what Christianity is. They don't seem to understand that Christianity is something that God does for a person and not what we do for God. The world does not seem to understand that a Christian is not a child of God because of his lifestyle. A Christian is a child of God because of what Jesus did for him at the cross. And the Church of Jesus Christ should understand that. Many people are drawn to Christianity through the lifestyle of some Christians, and many are pushed away because of the lifestyle of the church. So when we look at these things, we can understand the confusion. There are many people confused today about Christianity because of the way people operate. How many times have you heard of people not going to church because of the hypocrites that are there? I have even heard that from Christians. They do not like to go to church because of some of the people that are there. But the question I want to ask, why do you go to church? Is it to go visit with another person, or is it to go and have a relationship, a time of fellowship with God? If you are one of these who has a problem with people in church, I would like to ask you to take a good, honest look at yourself. Are you perfect? Do you walk a perfect, holy life? We have to understand that the Church of Jesus Christ is made up of imperfect people who have different outlooks on things. So it is hard to judge them because our principles may be different from theirs. Different religious backgrounds have different principles, so we cannot judge another person. We have to judge them according to the judgment of Christ. I want to make a statement here. Many Christians who come from religious backgrounds will have a different outlook on Christianity than a Christian has that comes from a total pagan upbringing. I have seen both of them. And to tell you the truth, in most cases, the one who has a pagan upbringing has the better view of Christianity. They're much easier to get along with. They don't seem to have that religious spirit in them. And that makes sense because Jesus would rather spend time with sinners than with the religious crowd. So look at yourself before you judge other people. Maybe there is something in you that needs to be improved on. I want to make something very clear here. If a person believes that keeping rules, laws, and regulations will make him a better Christian, then the Bible will question his Christianity. That is very clearly found written in the book of Galatians. But at the same time, a person who does not change his lifestyle, he keeps living like the world after he becomes a Christian. Ephesians chapter 4 will question your Christianity. This is a very important point I want to bring across. It is the cross of Jesus Christ that makes us citizens of heaven if we believe in it and take it for our salvation. And when somebody becomes a Christian, the Bible teaches us all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That new spirit that is within us will change us from the inside out. It will take us away from worldly living. And it will also give us understanding that keeping rules, laws, and regulations don't make us better Christians. So study these things. Open your heart to Scripture, and the Lord will give you a freedom that you have never had before. The Lord will open your heart to these truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.